Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, they're lovely. The first service had to encourage them to do it twice, so that's good. I'm still getting used to my last church I was at. There's always something before this that's different, so I was sitting at the back enjoying the song. Oh, I'm up next, so I better get up. Welcome to Mount Olive. I'm Pastor Paris, and I'm somewhat new here, so if you're trying to get to know me, the best way is to come to my office or give me a call or something, an arranged appointment, and we'd love to sit down for coffee with you to get to know you. I know there's a lot of you, so it'll be fill my time, but I'm very much a people person, would love to get to know people, so I encourage you to spend some time over coffee or something, and I'd love to get to know you. We are in a short series called Jesus for Sinners, as the splash thing showed you up there. And last week, Pastor Alvin walked us through scripture of a wee little man on St. Patrick's Day, no less. I thought it was funny he didn't make that comment, so I will do that, seeing how he's away. But as we're preparing for the Easter season, he walked you through a journey that Jesus had on the way to the cross as it related to sinners. And we're going to continue looking at that. But he left you with something. Rather than running from sinners, Jesus moved towards sinners. And that's a model we need to adopt. And this morning, we're going to look at the passage, and hopefully it echoes the same type of message. And we're going to look at it in the idea of perspectives, when you look at things from your perspective. And hopefully, as we talk through this morning and look through the passage, you're going to see that you may have a certain perspective that does work or doesn't work. One of the perspectives I learned is I love doing puzzles. And I always, during Christmas and New Year's, always like to work on a puzzle. Then we got married and we decided to, I continued doing it. And then I found out a different perspective on how to do puzzles when my wife began to teach our son how to do a puzzle, which was different than mine. One was not right, one was not wrong. It was a different perspective. And I realized that because it was different as she began to teach our son. I won't tell you the difference. You can find out over coffee you'd like. But I did realize that we come at different perspectives. And this morning's passage is all about perspectives that you have when you look at things. I can say with certainty that you came this morning with your own perspective on what this Sunday would look like when you came. It's Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter. If you're new to the church or new to the faith and wondering what his palm branches have to do with anything about Easter, it's found in the Bible, a story that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the city that the temple was held. And when he came in, they praised him for who he was and they waved palm branches. In my faith, in growing up, every church I've been at or served at, they had kids running up and down the aisles with palm branches, and I knew that wasn't going to happen today, so I put on the screen palm branches for you. So if you're used to having palm branches on Palm Sunday, they're on the screen for you, because we didn't have them. So that's our compromise, because it's a different perspective. But many of you come from a perspective and purpose of Sunday morning. And hopefully you come with a perspective of what is God going to show you? What is God going to teach you? Maybe you've been sitting in our midst for a while and you've been wondering, and you're wondering what this faith, this Christian faith we talk about, what it looks like. And you have those questions, and that's all right. We enjoy that you're here, and as Bill said, you are welcome with us. Maybe you have a perspective of Christianity that is not a good one. It stems from a past relationship. As Bill described, he had a conflict with someone and resolved that. And maybe you've been on the other end and wanting to know how to resolve that. And you struggle because the claim of Christianity of that other person may not be something of a proper perspective. This morning, we're going to take some time to look at perspectives at a various place where people were gathered together in a house. People from various walks of life, various cultural and social statuses, and they came together and they had a chance to meet and interact with Jesus. And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at their perspectives, including Jesus's, and hopefully you'll gain a greater understanding of what it means to be a follower of Christ and how we are to live our lives. Maybe your perspective needs a little tweaking to bring it in line with what Jesus wants you to do. This reminds me of a time I once attended a trade show. I like to go to different trade shows, and one of the booths, they had law enforcement there, and sorry if you're a law enforcement person out there, but they had law enforcement people out there, and they put to teach the people the understanding of what drinking and driving has an effect on your ability to drive, and they gave you a pair of goggles you'd put on, and they'd ask you to walk a straight line. And these people would put on these goggles, and they would be going like this and trying to walk, and they could never walk the straight line. So I sat back and watched for a while, being the scientific mind that I have. I thought, why? How does this happen? What's the perspective? And I realized, and I looked at the goggles, they had a kind of a slant to the goggle, and it tricked your eyes to make you look like you couldn't see and walk down the straight line. But being the little rascal I was at that young age, I decided to prove them wrong. So I'm going to pretend that I realize the perspective's throwing my eyes, but I'm going to pretend, and even though my eyes say the line's here, I'm going to walk over here off the line, knowing I'm going to walk on the line. And I did it great, straight down the line. Came out and smiled, and they didn't like that very much. Because they were trying to prove a point, a perspective, and I wasn't helping that. So they quickly grabbed them from me and said, you can go on your way. But I came with a perspective wearing, realizing that I wanted to beat the system. I realized that with the lenses, I was a little bit off. And I accounted for that. Maybe this morning your perspective, whether you're a follower of Christ or one who's been listening and watching, and maybe you're listening online for the first time, and it's my prayer that you're going to see a different perspective that may be a little bit off, and to correct that. Or maybe you are a lot off and you need to change and come back and do a complete change on what it means to be a follower of Christ. So let's take a look this morning and dive into this event, Held Out a House, from a different perspective. And it'll be on the screen, and I'm reading from Luke chapter 7, 36 to 50. If you turn with me in your Bibles, hopefully it's on the screen behind you, but I'm reading from that. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered to him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so that he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. He then turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look into your word this morning, may you challenge us to live a life as you see things. Challenge us this morning from your word to gain a better perspective on what you want, how you want us to live. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin with the perspective of a Pharisee who the text seems to imply that his name was Simon. Last week, Zacchaeus was curious about Jesus, but Simon's curiosity was different than Zacchaeus's. Simon wanted to have a party, and he wanted to show off his ability to host a party. You see, homes back then are much different, especially those with higher means. They would host these events, and they'd be loosely open to the public. This is important to discover later, because you wonder why, how this woman was able to come in to the party. But that's how the homes were. You see, he invited the guests, and they had an open courtyard, and people non-invited could kind of peek in and see what was going on. I'm painting you this picture so you have an idea, because in the culture we live today, if you have a party, only the people that are invited generally come to it, not anyone off the street. So Simon invites Jesus, and I believe he invited him to find out who this upcoming prophet was, who this one called Jesus was. If you follow Luke's narrative and the timeline, Jesus was becoming known throughout the land. The timeline talks about the Sermon on the Mount, a time where Jesus challenged the people to love their enemies, not hate them. There's many passages on talking about the kingdom of God. And in Luke's timeline, Jesus had begun healing people. Not uncommon in that day, but he began healing people, and he began healing Gentiles, those sinners. I believe Simon's perspective of Jesus was to disprove Jesus and who he really was, and he wanted to come here to explore who Jesus was and challenge him, because he didn't quite believe him. He may have thought he can't really be the Son of God, as he claims. He can't really be a prophet. He can't really do anything for me, Simon thought. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you can identify with Simon. You keep hearing us Sunday after Sunday talking about this Jesus. And you can't possibly think God wouldn't care for me, but he does. Maybe from your perspective, you're struggling with giving your life fully to God. You believe in Christ and you're a follower of Christ, but you struggle with fully giving your life in every area of your life. Simon was a follower, devoted follower of his religion, because he was a Pharisee. Sometimes given a bad name, but they set out to be faithful to God in all that they did. You see, probably Simon held a high view of himself, and Jesus was about to confront his perspective on his own life. And then we look at the woman's perspective. It says, a woman in the town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. And she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. You see, the NIV translates this and gives you kind of a background information about who she was. She heard, she knew Jesus was there, and she came because of it. If you look at the original language, the Greek word there uses an interjection that draws the reader's attention to say, behold. In other words, look at this. Look what this sinner is doing. Can you imagine that? How could that possibly be allowed? The culture of the day viewed this woman as an outcast. Look at her. She leads a sinful life. Do we in our culture have people that we classify as outcasts because of their sin? A sinful life that's not hidden in the public, but is full display in the marketplace. I could well imagine if the marketplace was similar to what we have today, she would have a bulletin board advertised, billboard advertising what she does in plain view of everyone. Sometimes if there's the internet back then, it would have been a pop-up ad of what she did. And people knew her and were running away from her because of who she was. They didn't want to associate with her. Simon knew her, and his perspective was to run away from her. How could this possibly be this person in my house? And Jesus knew her, and as we read on, he turned towards her. You see, the woman's perspective of Jesus was to come and to worship him. There was no doubt in her mind what type of woman she was. She knew. She had led a life of sin. She knew she was a sinner, that Christ was there to remove that sin from her, and she wanted to come and only come to worship him. What is our perspective when we come to Jesus? Later in our service, we'll be gathering together to celebrate through communion what Christ has done for us. He has broken his body for us so that we might be saved. He shed his blood on the cross so that we can stand right before God when we accept that. Christ did that for every person in this room. Simon's perspective was to look at this person for what she has done. The woman's perspective was to worship God for what he did for her, one who saves sinners. And before I look at Jesus' perspective in this situation, I want to draw our attention to the guests at the party, those onlookers, the ones that just kind of showed up. Did you catch their perspective? If you read this passage quickly, you could miss it. You see, the guests were there for the party. They're invited to the popular, most influential man around so that they too can be part of the group. Maybe they were there to rise in the social status of the community, and if I come to this party and if I'm part of that group, then I belong. Maybe they wanted a place to belong, and so they began to come there. I assume they were not there to come and see Jesus. They just happened to be there to witness Christ and the power of Christ come to life as they came face to face with the Savior of the world. Today, maybe you can identify with those sitting around the table at Simon's house. And you ask yourself the same question, who is this man called Jesus who forgives sins? Maybe you're like that. And they thought, can even he forgive the sins of the worst kinds of people? We rank as those people. If you look around this morning and wondering, and maybe you have the same question, let's look at Jesus and his perspective and his response to the situation. As you read the response of the crowd, you see that Jesus had a different view. Look at verse 39. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Isn't it great to point fingers? We see Simon's perspective. He's pointing fingers. Simon had just stood up at the party, made this bold public declaration for all that are gathered to publicly challenge Jesus of allowing this woman to do this, because if he really knew it, he wouldn't do this. You see, Jesus' perspective was twofold in the response, how to treat the skeptic and how to treat the worshiper, and he did it so masterfully at the same time. He first dealt with the skeptic. Did you notice that Jesus didn't defend his actions? He didn't say, I'm doing this because I'm allowed to do it or because I'm doing this. He just turned the tables back on Simon. I don't think he was trying to trick Simon. I thought he just wanted to prove his point, to show Simon his perspective was wrong. You see, the first question he asked about the two people was a perspective of gratefulness, love, and adoration. Simon had no option but to answer the question with the one who had been given the greatest grace was the one that would love the most. But did you notice that both people in that example received grace? One didn't get more than the other. They both got grace. Equal grace. Both were forgiven. Equal removal of sin in their lives. Both debts were canceled. Both people were free of the debt. God looks upon the world and saw that all are in a position of debt. He sent his son into this world so that through him all would be released from the bondage of sin and of debt of sin. Jesus asked us to come to receive that gift, to receive that forgiveness. Jesus didn't ask Simon which person was freed from the obligation. He asked him who had the ability to love more, to come to him. In our worship to God, how much more love do we show God for the removal of the sin and death in our life? Do we approach the God in the same manner as this woman with the heart of love and adoration for what God has done in our lives? As we approach this Easter season, this example of this woman May it be an example of our worship that we are grateful what God has done for us, and we are drawn closer to him because of it. Jesus challenges Simon's perspective by showing in contrast his response to the Savior and the woman known as the sinner. If you're reading this passage, you'll see and hear Jesus during the whole interaction with Simon is talking directly to Simon. He's looking at Simon and answering his questions and challenging him. I'm always awestruck on when you read passages of Jesus and how he responds to people that he has this intense look at him. The perspective of God in flesh talking with him. But did you catch the shift in a moment? He's talking with Simon, he continues to talk with Simon, and yet he turns his eyes to that of the woman. You see, when we come to Jesus, we will experience his grace, but we'll also experience his compassion. He looked at the woman with compassion. While others cast shame and doubt on her, he casts compassion. When we come to sinners, what do? Do we cast shame on them, or do we bring compassion? While others looked away, Jesus noticed her. While she sat there at his feet in this humblest state, he gazed her way and showed compassion. Do we? Simon answered the question correctly, according to Jesus, and Jesus applauded Simon for the correct answer, but he then begins to contrast the actions of the woman and the actions of Simon. Statements like, you did this, but she did this. You showed me dishonor, but she showed me nothing but honor, and has stopped short. Do we come to church as a pattern? Which is not wrong. But do we gather Sunday morning to offer up corporate praise to him? Is that why we come together? Sometimes I see myself through the eyes of Simon. My redemption story that Christ saved me, he went to the cross for me, is huge. But sometimes in my life, I look at others and they're far away and they come back and I wonder, do I have the same love for Christ of what he's done for me? That God's grace has been poured out in my life and I need to show that to him. The woman understood where she was. She understood the need for forgiveness. She understood the grace working in her life, and her only response was to come to the feet of Jesus in total reliance and worship him. And Jesus noticed her actions, her heart. And he stopped speaking to Simon and spoke the kindest words, the most gentle words for her that she needed to hear. This woman who knew she was a sinner and everyone knew who she was, Christ looked at her and said, your sins are forgiven. Grace has been granted. Jesus knew that the work on the cross that he soon will be doing will seal the deal, but for now he knew the full extent of the grace of God in her life. Grace has been granted. Maybe you're feeling today, I need a bit of that grace. God's grace is for you. In those small, simple, and gentle words, the woman's life was changed. It was transformed. This morning, the same grace that was given to that woman so many years ago can be given to you today for you to accept it, which leads us to our perspective. When we come on our own, after reading this passage, there's been many perspectives in our life, and is your perspective changing? How do you see this story? What does it mean for you today? Can you identify with the different perspectives in given this morning looking at the passage? Are you like Simon, who wants to have Jesus in our midst and have him around, yet we fully haven't given our life over to him? Are we like, as Jesus described it, we love little, knowing that Jesus came to the cross, died for our sins, We accept that work of grace in our lives, and yet we are not willing to fully give everything to Him. Is there something God's asking you to give to Him, to fully give to Him? Do we need to change our perspective? Do we need to come and worship at His feet? Or are we like the rest of the people, reclining and watching from afar what's happening? Maybe you've been coming to this gathering week after week, and you hear what Christ has done for you. This Easter, you're going to hear once again that Christ went to the cross for you. He took the penalty of the sin for you. The separation from God has been removed. Grace and forgiveness is there for you to take today, to accept, to come to Him. I challenge you, come. Don't wait any longer. Would you consider coming to Christ today? Giving your life over to Him, and like this woman, realize that you are in the depths of your sin, and only God will do this, what Christ has done. And we begin to worship the one who's given us freedom and forgiveness. And maybe you're like the perspective of the woman who comes to Jesus. You come to worship Him for what He's done. We come in a posture of praise and adoration, and we look forward to every Sunday we come where we gather together corporately to praise the One and are grateful for what He's done. And we walk away with the words, "Your sins are forgiven and you can now go in peace." As the worship team makes their way here to draw us to communion, let me remind you of why we celebrate communion. We came this morning and we're coming as corporate fellowship to gather around the table and follow the directions of Christ. Paul reminds us, he said, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This body is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Paul continues, he said, "In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper and saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" But then Paul goes on to say something else. "Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord is in an unworthy manner will be guilty of concerning the body and the blood of the Lord." So Paul says, examine yourself. Judge yourself. Listen to the Spirit. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to come and collect your communion elements in the four sections at the back. And as is our custom, come up the sides, collect, and go down the middle back to your seats. But as you're doing that, listen to the Spirit. Is God tweaking your perspective in some way and saying, "God, we're saying to you, I need you to change in one area"? Take some moments to reflect upon this as you come and collect your elements. Take some time to make things right with God in this time. Now let's come to the table of the Lord.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.